All right, so welcome to another episode of Football Introspection. Today we are doing episode number 25, and just basically Champions League football that we're looking at. There's not too much to be checking out in terms of other football action, but yes, we'll be doing that. And then just a quick reminder before we get into the episode, if you would like to be a guest on one of my future episodes, then please let me know and then we'll see if we can make that work out. So just hit me up on Instagram or Twitter in the DMs at Footy Intro, or on Twitter at Anati_Sinalo, or on Instagram at Anati_Sinalo. So yeah, let's just get into the episode and hope you guys enjoy it. All right, so let's get into the recap segment of today's episode. And yeah, let's just start off in the FA Cup, and Nottingham Forest beat Huddersfield 2-1. So that was like the final FA Cup fixture that was played from last week's midweek fixtures, which is kind of weird for me because they played... Nottingham and Huddersfield played their own league matches last Friday and then played FA Cup on Monday. So, like, in terms of day breaks, they had the minimum of the two, which is fine. But then why didn't they just play FA Cup on Friday or something, or Thursday, then the league on the weekend? But anyway, yeah. Staying in England, Spurs thrashed Everton 5-0. I don't know, I didn't watch the game and all, but I was just sharing and reading a lot about Everton's midfield just being open. And yeah, I don't know, it was a thing under Lampard in Chelsea where his midfield was open a lot. So maybe it's just also getting into the balance or whatever of being the new coach. But yeah, let's hope that changes. And then our final league game or recap of domestic football that was played this week was Athletic Bilbao beat Levante 3-1. So yeah, they just doubled Levante's good upturn in form. Before this game, there were 7 points out of 9, so 7 out of 12 isn't terrible, it's still good. I think they're 6 points off safety, so they need to make sure that they're keeping this form up, maybe hope for a victory this next, I'm not sure they play next, but have a victory and build on with such results. And then, yeah, there was some Europa League action that actually played last night as well. Just go through those results as well. It was just two games. It was Porto who lost 1-0 to Lyon, and Betis lost 2-1 to Eintracht Frankfurt. So yeah, those are the Europa League fixtures that played this midweek so far. All right, so let's get into some Champions League recap, and we'll run through this as quick as possible. City drew 0-0 at Sporting and have advanced 5-0 on aggregate. Bayern thrashed Salzburg 7-1, advanced 8-2 on aggregate. So yeah, Bayern just fixed what they did wrong the first leg. He's still one of the favorites to win Champions League, definitely. Just for me is that if someone like Lever gets injured, where do they get goals? Because yes, I agree, four of the goals scored were not him, but those other players are not going to score every game against all the big teams. And I forgot, but Lever doesn't even have one of the best stats in Champions League against big five teams. Like, I think, it's not that stats are terrible, just most of his goals have been scored against teams that are not from the top five leagues in Champions League. Like, I think he has, let's say he has 70 league, Champions League goals, about like 48, 850 of them would have been scored against teams that are not from the top five league. So yeah, but anyway, let's move on to kind of stat padding, if we're being honest, but that's besides the point. Let's move on. Liverpool Inter won the game 1-0. Inter just have lapses of concentration, if we can say that, cost them. It's happened for the past few seasons. It's happened this way. If we look at, for example, last season, it happened when Vidal got a red card against Madrid, just coming off the bench. This season, Barea gets a red card against Madrid as well in the final group game, which is not just a one-match suspension, it's two-match because it's violent conduct. Sanchez, unlucky, but he still gets a red card after just taking the lead. So, yeah, just those small moments. I do think they could have beat Liverpool if they didn't have those moments. So just a one goal at home, something. But I don't think Liverpool clearly deserved to go through, nor did I say Liverpool clearly deserved to lose or anything. It's those games where it's just one goal for the other team. One team was more lucky or whatever. And that's how the tie ended up, 2-1 victory on Liverpool. It could easily have been a draw and went on to extra time, sorry. So it's just one of those games. So not saying either side played better or whatever. I just think Inter played better between the boxes and everything. Never really created too many chances, especially in the first leg. Second leg, they did get some chances. When I say chances, I mean more like testing the keeper, not like overhitting a cross, or just the striker just misses a cross or whatever, something like that. I mean, like chances where a shot actually happened. And they didn't do too many of that. Did Inter. But yeah, Liverpool are through 2-1 aggregate. So congratulations to them. They will need to pick up their socks if they're playing someone bigger. But in fact, now it's quarterfinal stages. You need to pick up your socks. You can't afford just to play against anyone in any type of manner and think you'll go through, because teams will knock you out of the Champions League. So, Lyon did it to City at a point. So, why can't a team like Ajax or Benfica do it to Liverpool? So, they just need to pick up their socks. They need their key players back playing good footy, like Salah specifically. He's been quiet for the past few games or so. So, yeah. And then, let's go to the tie of the round. The whole Champions League round of 16 round, Madrid versus PSG. What a turnaround. What a game. How can't you love footy? Literally 2-0 down and 17 minutes, boom, 3-2 up. Big Ben's hat-trick. Can't really say much about, in terms of criticizing Poch too much. I think with the front three, the way he set them up, he did very well. He got them very narrow. And he made his midfield work hard. So his three-man midfield did a big job in terms of covering the wide areas. So yes, Mbappe and Messi would still drop, and Neymar as well would still drop. But then the midfield will cover up, at least maybe to give them that extra second to come back or whatever. So that's just those type of things that he did, hard working. But I just think he needs to find a way to get Verratti up higher as well. I liked and didn't like what he did with Danilo, because it put a man on Vinny, which was good, but Vinny dropped back a lot, so sometimes he was just there for no reason. So and then that means Verratti is deeper for no reason when this is when PSG have the ball. So what I was thinking is, how I think it was, just get a block of four, keep that block, and you won't get them in a straight square. It will be something like a rhombus, where if one falls in, like into position, like just drops deep, one of the midfielders is not into the center back's position, but he's just dropping into maybe, just needs to shift up a bit more than is a right back or whatever, or but just that thing, that something needs to just
put them into a system where they can drop and defend with four and still get the offensive players higher up enjoying themselves, because he got Mendes up, he got Hakimi up, Neymar, Mbappe, Messi. The only one he didn't get up too often was Verratti, and that's what I want to fix. I need him to be a bit higher, and then that's where you get that double pivot midfield and your two center backs, and then they will work out as a four. And then obviously your full backs have to come sprinting back, because it's not their job to be scoring goals. Initial job is to defend as well. So they come coming back. Verratti also comes tracking back. And then your three boys will come back as well. So it's just that's where I would tweak the system a bit, just to get Verratti more involved with those other three attacking superstars, whilst allowing the fullbacks to still push up as high as they want to, essentially. So yeah, but just have a word on Modric quickly, who ran the show, especially in the second half. Like, he had a great second half. It was getting to a point I was thinking also, I was like, ooh, he had brought on Rodrigo and Camavinga and Vasquez, and I was thinking that, okay, Hazard is probably going to be one of his next attacking options, Hazard or Jovic or someone, but an offensive player, and it can't be for Vinny or Benz, because you're trailing. You need to bring on a more offensive player who's gonna, for a more defensive player, for a midfielder or something like that. And it had to be between Modric and Valverde. And the only question I was wondering to myself, I'm like, does Modric still have the legs to run as a two-man midfield whilst we're chasing the game, and then has to chase back for counter-attack? Now, I was unsure if that was the case, but he didn't need to do that anyway, because Modric, that set up for the second goal, was amazing. The run for even, and then the slip pass to Benz. So, that was a great performance by him. Still think he was the second best midfielder of the tie behind Verratti. And then, yeah, I just wanted to also mention, actually read on Twitter that, Neymar and Donnarumma had to be separated in the changing room last night, because Neymar blamed Gigi for the first goal, and Gigi blamed Neymar for losing the ball on the second goal. And look, I hear where they're both coming from. The first goal is definitely Gigi's fault. He dwelling on the ball, allowing Benzema to press him, and then he's trying to win a cheap free kick. Glad the referee didn't give it, because keepers, just as soon as they touch an opposing player, they want to go down and win a free kick. And no, man, if you want to play the ball on the ground like an outfield player, then you should be able to deal with the contact like an outfield player does, and not try and win cheap free kicks. Yes, they do that, but then that one was nothing. That was just Benzema kind of trying to block the pass, and just having like a shoulder-to-shoulder contact type of thing. No foul or anything. So let's play on. And then, got punished. And then I do agree, Neymar did lose the ball. But there's a lot that happens before that goal comes in. First, Modric makes a run through the midfield. If we're being honest, it's easy. Someone could take out Modric at that point in time and say, no, you're not countering, because it's 1-1 on the night and 2-1 on aggregate. So especially if you have a free yellow card to give away, you can take him out. Or we'd go and defend the situation properly, because the ball gets played into Vinny, who cuts back in. You see, if he went for goal and scored there, then I'd say, okay, fine, yeah, can't really do too much. But it cuts back in and the chance goes, but then there's no one who picks out Modric firstly, and Benz, the defensive line is slow to move up. So yes, Neymar did lose the ball. I do agree he did. But then there's more that could have been done to prevent the goal. In terms of the first goal, as soon as Vinny picks the ball up, he just has one touch to control the ball and passes it to Benz. There's three Real Madrid touches in there. There's not much that you can do, because you can't go mark Vinny. You have to watch, because the goals are open. You can't leave and there's bends here, you can't mark bends because you'd be leaving the goals open. And so Marquinhos just tries to get into a position where, okay, firstly the goals are marked, and then I'll try and block Benz's shot because that's the best situation that can happen, and it doesn't happen. So yeah, but I do, yeah, they both made mistakes, no cap, just that Gigi's one was way worse than Neymar's. So yeah, but that's the recap of Champions League. Madrid are through, Liverpool are through, Bayern are through, and City are through. All right, so let's look at what's next. And yeah, there's some more Europa League fixtures tonight. There are a couple of more interesting ties that are happening now in the round of 16. So we've got Barca versus Galatasaray, Atalanta versus Leverkusen, and Sevilla versus West Ham. So yeah, that will be a good test for West Ham to see how far they've progressed, because they're a side that haven't been in European football often in the recent past. So yeah, then there's also some Premier League action that is happening tonight as well, in four games. You can check that out as well. And then if we look at league action over the weekend, there's Betis versus Bilbao. I think that would be the biggest or the best Spanish game. The fixtures list isn't that impressive this week. And Lyon versus Rennes, Hoffenheim versus Bayern, all those games have like some implications on fourth place or yeah, Champions League places. But then in England, we actually have some quite interesting fixtures. On Saturday evening, we have United versus Spurs, and then we have Arsenal versus Leicester on Sunday evening. So that'll be interesting to watch. So yeah, check those fixtures out. All right, so let's get into the quiz. And yeah, I just realized that I'm wrong in my question. I asked it incorrectly, and that would effectively get you the wrong answer, because I had asked how many league games did Chelsea play in the year 2022 so far, and the answer on my Instagram thing is 3, but that's actually 6 league games that are played. The question that I should have asked was how many, so the question that I should have asked is that Chelsea have won their last 3 Premier League games, and then in which month. So essentially, yeah, I don't know the stat that I had in my head. I just needed to find a way to rephrase the question. But the stat that I had in my head is that Chelsea have won their last 3 Premier League games, and they've all been in different months. So we had one in January, we had one in Feb, and one in March so far. So that's where the question arose from. But I forgot that we had played other league games, like against City and Brighton. So yeah, I got that wrong. I'm sorry for that. But let's move on. The other ones are correct, I'm sure. And then it was who made his full Champions League debut for Man City. That would be Conrad Egan-Reilly. I actually got some praise from Pep Guardiola as well, so congrats to him. And then, yeah, actually Pep is angry at Walker because he's still suspended because of that stupid red card that he got in the final group game. But yeah. Anyway, then the third question is which former Ukrainian captain will have his like international accolades stripped of him, and that'll be Anatoly Timoshuk, and that's because he is still coaching for Zenit, so he's still working with Zenit now during this whole Russian invasion. He's Ukrainian, busy with the Russians, so that's why. Yeah, Timoshuk used to play for Bayern. That's where he's probably most well known. Won the Champions League with Bayern as well in 13. So yeah. Next question would be how many Premier League goals all time does Harry Kane have? That's 176. He just overtook Thierry Henry. He's one short of what's his face? Frank Lampard. So yeah. And then finally, who's got a quicker hat trick, like from the first goal to the third goal when you time it, whose hat trick was quicker between Levers and Benzema's? And that would be Levers. He scored it in 11 minutes and Big Ben scored a 17 minute hat trick. So yeah, that is the quiz for today. Apologies again for the first question, please forgive me. And yeah, please stay tuned for the poll on Sunday and quiz next week again. So today is Chelsea's birthday, and it's the 117th birthday, and they've been given such a beautiful gift from the UK government as Roman Abramovich assets are frozen. So yeah, it's a tough one. That means Chelsea can't do any transfers or sell or sign. They can't do new contract renewals. They can't sell any more tickets. Only season holders are allowed. So no away or home tickets. The club store can't buy and sell anything. So the club also can't be for sale or can't be sold now. So yeah, that's a tough one for the club. You see, that's the thing, that I'm not sure how long this thing is going to take. And there's chats on Twitter that are saying apparently if Chelsea are put in administration, you lose, will be deducted 9 points. A 9 point deduction would take Chelsea down to 7th place below Spurs. So Arsenal, United, Spurs would all move up one position, and United now would be in 4th place, 5 points clear of Chelsea, 2 games in hand. I don't know how true this is, but Chelsea would have 2 games in hand, and they do play tonight on their birthday on such a weird and sad day for them. So it is possible that they can recover that 4th place, but wow, that's would be a big blow, honestly, for the club, that now we've dropped fully into the middle of the top four Champions League race and not someone who's leading the other teams that are fighting for fourth place by a few points. Like, we have a young buffer that we won't get knocked out of the top four spots if we lose one game, for example. So now we get right into the middle of it. And yeah, it's different. I don't know what to say. I just think Chelsea, you see, the problem is, for me, the biggest one is Tony Rudiger's contract not being signed yet, because not knowing how long this could take, let's say it continues till the end of the season or next season, it's still this same situation. Now, my thing is, Tony Rudiger's contract expires. So unless there's like those loopholes, like when we did a, what do you call, transfer ban, and then we're not technically allowed to sign new players, and then from 1st of July, and then what we did was sign cover before the 1st of July, and that essentially meant he was not a new player because he was still there from 30th of June. It was just extension of a contract, essentially. So if there's a loophole like that where we can also take advantage of signing Rudiger, then I would be happy, because Aspi and AC, I was expecting Aspi to leave within the next 2 seasons or so, because I can see the contract situation's a problem. We have an option to extend his contract, so by a year. So I thought, okay, fine, if anything, it's 1 year and then gone after that. So that'll be, I wasn't expecting too much from him in terms of years at Chelsea because of how the contract situation is going. And I see AC now is also leaving Chelsea, it seems. That's the way. So that's a tough one for me, the Rudiger one. In terms of bringing new players in, I think the only positions where it would be very unlucky or sketchy or struggling, or where we would need is our, especially with the back threes, our wing back positions, because okay, we find left wing back, we've got some options, but not much, not people who I want at that quality of close to Chile that'll give Chile a run for his money. We have Kennedy, Emerson, Marcus Alonso. I haven't seen Emerson play much at wing back in some time since he joined Chelsea and Conte, but yeah, Tuchel hasn't really paid him as wing back. So there's that. And then on the right side, we don't have like a right back now there, so we'd have to go to the academy, maybe like a Rankin or something like that. You look at him to fill into the team or something, Dion Rankin or something, I don't know. But what Xavier Simons, who played I think right back for us at a point. So yeah, that'll be future problems, honestly. But I think we've got, can bring like youth players in, like Levi Colwill for AC as a centre back, left footed centre back now as well. So, who's been performing well at championship level. And I know championship level and Premier League level is different, but he can learn some things from Thiago Silva and Tony and build his way into the team slowly. Doesn't need to be like as quick as how Chalobah was. But if he is good enough, then why not? And then we also have Conor Gallagher, Billy Gilmore, Ethan Ampadu, and Armando Broya, all returning from loan, who are all highly rated in the Chelsea Academy and who can all find a way into the team and play some football. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this works out. And, yeah, let's just see how it goes. Hopefully this doesn't, mess up the players' minds tonight and the game against Norwich. It's just interesting to see how this situation will unfold with Chelsea, Roman, and the UK government. So we've come to the end of today's episode. I would sing for my beloved Chelsea, but I don't think you guys want to hear me sing. But yeah, happy birthday to my club. It's the only club birthday that I care about. I know Inter's a couple of days for us. I think it's the 8th Inter, I saw it recently, but happy birthday to my club. This is the end of the episode. I don't know what else to say, but thanks guys for the support, thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you guys again on Monday. Bye.